Welcome to Analyst Talk with Jason Elder. It's like coffee with an analyst, or it could be whiskey with an analyst reading a spreadsheet, linking crime events, identifying a series, and getting the latest scoop on association news and training. So please don't beat that analyst and join us as we define the law enforcement analysis profession one episode at a time.
Thank you for joining me. I hope many aspects of your life are progressing. My name is Jason Elder, and today we have a special episode. With me is Danielle Martell to talk about calls for speakers for the 2024 IACA conference being held in Las Vegas, Nevada, September 16th through the 20th. So please welcome Danielle. Danielle, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jason? Thank you for having me on.
Doing very well. Looking forward to this discussion. We're going to break down all what folks need to know about putting in for presentations, the application process, the types of presentations, the selection process, what to expect once the presenter is chosen. So we're going to try to take all the mystique out of the calls for presentation process for the IACA conference. So we're back in Vegas again. Are you a Vegas person?
I used to be a Vegas person when I lived in California. Every 6 months for our bowling league, we would go to Vegas. So I have done so much in Vegas. So now it's not as mysterious to me anymore, but I do enjoy the amount of concerts and food and, you know, the different shows they have and stuff. So hopefully I will get a little bit of time to maybe see a new show I haven't seen in Vegas.
Yeah, it is interesting. I am not a gambler and I'm not a live show person. So that, while I still will enjoy my time in Vegas, those are the two activities that I hear most people talk about, and neither one of those is my cup of tea.
Well, you might have to find something different. They have some great hiking.
It's the city that never sleeps. I'll find something to do, even if it's just talking with people that we know type thing.
I think you'll see that Vegas will have something for everyone. I don't know. They have some crazy stuff with, you're able to use construction equipment to go out and dig like you're an actual heavy equipment operator. They have the mob museum. There's so many very interesting things. I still have not done the zip line across downtown Vegas. I want to try and get that here.
Yeah, see, there's always something to do. We'll be in good shape. So, all right. So let's start here. So we're actively in the time period where folks can put in for presentations for this conference. And so let's just start off with maybe just some general information, and then we'll move into some frequently asked questions and some do's and don'ts.
Sounds good. So as most of you know, or if you don't, our IACA conference calls for presentations is open, and you can find it on our website. And the calls for presentations, we got open earlier this year because we wanted to give people the chance to really dive into some different topics, make sure they had time. And so we're giving everyone until April 28th at 11:59 p.m. to submit a presentation. And those presentations, they can be in different languages also. Now, most of the time, if it's in a different language, it's going to be Spanish speakers. That seems to be our prevalent other language that we might get presentations in. But we encourage people from different countries to put in. We've had some extremely interesting presentations on how they do crime analysis and some of the crimes and solutions that they come up with. So that's one of the things that we encourage people to do. We had a couple from different countries last year that were non-English speaking, and then of course we have our Mexico contingent that does a great job too. So that is open, and it's on our website, and there is a link. Now that link is going to take people to a page on Cvent. And Cvent is just our conference app. And it's pretty straightforward. You just have to hit create an account with your name and your email address, and then you can put your submission in. The reason we do that is so that everything goes straight into the website and we can port it over to our actual mobile app later. So we don't have to retype people's information. This also gives you a chance that if you don't know everything you want to say in your presentation, you can start it and save it and wait till the last minute to submit it. We hope you don't wait till the last minute because Julie and I, Julie Romano, have to do everything with that, but it gives you time because sometimes people are still looking for maybe a co-speaker. People are looking to make sure that their work will allow them to attend. There's different reasons that some people will hold off on doing their submission all at one time. So that is the nice thing about being able to create an account is you can take a little bit of time and make sure you're really happy with what you entered on there. So that is why you will see you have to create an account. Like I said, it's super easy. It's just your name and your email address. So that's the basics of it, but I definitely want to cover what we're looking for, different categories, and Jason, if you have questions too, I want you to pipe in.
Sure. So just a couple of follow-up things. So we will include links to both the conference webpage and the call for presentations in the show notes here so folks can directly find more information about this topic. And just a point of clarification, Danielle, so on the 28th, if they are one of those people that is waiting to the last minute, it is 11:59 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time, correct?
That is correct, yes. Thank you for clarifying that. But yes, it is basically that is your last and final moment to put in. And as much as we would love to extend it for people because maybe they forgot or something happened, that's why we've opened it up so early. Mm-hmm. We really need people to put that in so that we can start creating our speaker list and get notices out to people that they have been chosen and make sure that their work is okay with them coming. So there is a method to our madness. So that is why, yes, it is PM Pacific Standard Time because that's Julie and I. So yes.
All right. Very good. So I think let's start with just what the presentations are, like length of time, and then we can go into the different categories. And that'll get us set up because I'm sure maybe there's somebody listening that has an idea, but they're not sure. And then maybe there's somebody that wants to put in, but they're not sure. And so we can cover both those types of folks.
So, okay. So our criteria for presentations is generally 50 minutes or an hour slot. We say 50 minutes, so it kind of gives people time to clear out the room and let the next speaker come in. Now, it doesn't have to be a hard and fast 50 minutes. If you would like 2 hours because you've got a more complicated subject or maybe a hands-on computer class that you would like to do 2 hours, we are open to that. We can't guarantee it, but we have had a lot of requests from people to have a little bit longer to speak. And if you would like to do that, then we're okay with that. So that's part of it is we want to accommodate speakers so they feel comfortable and make sure that they get their information out to everybody because the last thing you want to do is feel super rushed. Mm-hmm. So that is an option for people. And what we're asking is just people tell us if it's possible we'd like 2 hours or whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. So it gives us an opportunity. And then the other thing to know is you can have one primary speaker and 3 co-speakers. And the primary speaker is the one that gets the conference benefits. And by conference benefits, you get a free registration to the conference and one night of hotel. Mm-hmm. So, and we are asking this year, though, that people not switch around primary and co-speakers because it becomes extremely difficult in the app and everything else to change people around. So know who you want as your primary. Mm-hmm. go into this knowing that that primary speaker can be there at the conference. If you're not so sure, don't have that person as your primary. And then you need permission from your agency. So we ask that
you learned that the hard way.
Yeah. So if you have a great idea and you really want to come to the conference, go talk to your powers that be and say, I really want to attend this conference. Tell them about the benefit of you being able to speak, not only sharing your knowledge, but you do get some financial benefit, but make sure that they are good with you coming. Because unfortunately, we've had people we've chosen, and then they tell us they can't come. And it makes it much more difficult for Julie and I to then have to reconfigure the schedule and then ask maybe someone else to step in at the last minute to do a class that we had expected to be there. So we do ask that people know that they can go, and we even have a little box at the end of when you submit your presentation that in advance your work has said it's okay. We do understand that people do have emergencies, though. We've had people get ill. We've had people's family members get ill. Something happens, and we understand that. So it's not like you're going to be penalized for it, but you do need to know ahead of time on the agency stuff.
Yeah. Now, for the primary and the co-speakers, should a situation arise with the primary speaker can't make it, would it be possible then at that juncture for one of the co-speakers to step up and be primary?
We would evaluate it based on whether the co-speaker was really comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the primary speaker is the one that has done the presentation or has the knowledge, but that doesn't mean we would instantly say no to that. So it mm-hmm. would be more, you know, unfortunately, you can only have one primary, but if both mm-hmm. people work equally on a case, then sure, that's going to be something we're going to consider. But if the secondary really had maybe 10-minute portion of the talk, that might not be as feasible. So we would look at it on a case-by-case basis, and we haven't had too much of that happen, luckily, to people. Mm-hmm. We've had some pretty good luck with our presenters and everyone being able to make it.
All right. So then with the benefits, you had mentioned if somebody is interested in doing a 2-hour class, does that have an extra benefit?
It doesn't. If you are presenting on 2 different days, then it does, because we're asking for 2 different days. But the 2-hour thing is more to make it comfortable for you. So if you really only want to do 1 hour, great. But we've had people who say, I really want to do 2 hours, and they're okay with the one night of hotel and the free registration.
Okay.
Because most of the time, the 2 hours is the same day. So that's kind of where that goes into that.
Okay. So, yeah. So, all right. So then you just to clarify, you could put in for 2 presentations. If they're scheduled for the same day, you're only getting the one hotel night stay.
If they're 2 different presentations, you know, we try not to put people on the same day. That's a little mm-hmm. stressful. Yeah. So if we pick you for 2 different presentations, most likely they're going to be on 2 different days, and you would get the 2 nights of hotel.
So you mentioned for the hour presentation, maybe looking to shoot for around 50 minutes because people might get up and leave and try to make the next presentation. And certainly I usually tell folks that have asked me, I recommend giving at least 5 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes at the end to allow for questions and whatnot. But is there too short of time? Is there a minimum that you should say, like, hey, like, you got to go so long for it to actually be a good presentation?
Good question. And most of the time, I don't think we've ever had anyone go under like 45 minutes. So I would say mm-hmm. 45 minutes, even 40 would be the least amount of time, because then, like you said, you can still have questions and you get people who are able to go back and forth. But half an hour is just too short, and people are expecting to get a little bit more information out of it. So we really do shoot for, and like you said, some people have a lot of questions. So if you know your class is going to be super popular or people have a lot of questions, you might go for 40 minutes and have 10 minutes worth of questions, or you stick around afterwards. That's another thing presenters will do, and talk to people who maybe don't have to be to another class because there's a half an hour break or something like that. So sometimes that works in your favor as a presenter if you have a longer break in between.
So let's get into the different tracks then, because that kind of sets the schedule for the week, and obviously the presentations that folks will put in are going to fit into one of these tracks.
So every year is a little different, and it's interesting because each year we have to kind of adjust based on not only the presenters, also our vendors slash exhibitors, depends on what you, some people have different terms they want to use for themselves. And then we also have our opening ceremonies that will have special guests. And sometimes we're going to have a general session on the first day. Sometimes we may add another general session to like a Thursday, like we did last year. So sometimes it's interesting on how we have to plan these different schedules. But what we're looking for as Julie and I is these following sections. So we're looking for people to submit on what we call general crime analysis or theory. And that's a general could be analysts presenting on how to become a supervisor, or an analyst presenting on here's how to become a public speaker, or also for the research part, what they've participated in as far as a research track. Now, most of the time, our research track tends to be NIJ. NIJ is our National Institute of Justice courses, and they handle their speaker. Now, we work closely with Joel Hunt, and he will ask us what we're kind of looking for, and his speakers will present their topic, and then they get a certain amount of class. So they really, in recent years, have really stepped up and done some interesting topics. And yes, they're research-based, but they're also working with crime analysts and stuff. And so it's kind of a different look at what a crime analyst can get involved in. So when I say theory, it's, okay, well, how about we put this practice in and see if we get a reduction in crime? So it's crime analysis, but it's also kind of a theory-based thing too. So that's kind of the general theory. And then we have crime analysis case studies. So everyone loves a good murder story or a whodunit. It doesn't even have to just be murder. It can be child exploitation. You've got robbery series. You've got a bunch of different things. So with those, we want to hear how you as the crime analyst helped your agency solve something. The part you took in helping that. It could be through social media searches. It could be doing cell phone analysis. There's a bunch of different things that you could be doing as a crime analyst to help solve a crime. And so those are always very fascinating for people who haven't worked a big case like that. Not every analyst gets tasked with those kind of fun cases, but someday it could happen. So it's good to know what an analyst did to do that. And by crime analysis, like I'm looking at our schedule last year, and like one of them was under construction, paving the way for a crime analysis. So basically talking to people about how do you create a crime analysis? That's not really stats or mapping or any of that, but it's still extremely important. How do you get started? What do you do? So those are some of the ways that we consider crime analysis courses. And then you have intel analysis. And it's really hard to define, but like we had money laundering last year. Threat management, that has become something that is becoming more popular for crime analysts to get involved in. And something like a big concert or a big event, like Julia Romano deals with their surfing competition. And so knowing the different threats that could be out there. So that's kind of what I mean by that. Intel could also be working with your phones, looking at your call detail records, and looking up very specific stuff and showing how you use those call detail records to help solve a crime. I did a presentation on illegal marijuana. That is my job now. So it's not really crime analysis. It's more intel because I'm really focusing on a particular person and or group. And then we have exhibitor led. Now, our exhibitors are a huge part of this conference. And so Without them, it would be a much more pared-down conference. They participate fully in this, and they also will offer to do classes. Like, they work with our exhibitor conference group, and some of them want to teach, what does our software do? Obviously, it's to their benefit, because as a crime analyst, if I'm going to buy a product, I want to know, can I use this? Is this going to help my agent? What can you really do? So they will submit what they want to talk about. So we don't pick those. That has nothing to do with us. But we also want to let people know, if you work for a vendor, let's say you worked for PenLink or you worked for Ooster or you did something like that, and you want to still do a class, we are open to that, but you cannot base that class on your product. So there are a lot of talented and smart analysts that have left law enforcement and gone to the private sector and have a lot of knowledge to share. And we're good with that, as long as it's not to sell a product, because that's not fair to the other vendors who have paid for the opportunity to do a class. So we just want to make that clear that we don't prohibit it, but we also look at what you're submitting. And if we think it's too much leaning on a particular product, then we won't do that. And then you have your bring your own computer lab. We highly encourage people to put in for bring your own computer lab. We have Power BI, you have Excel, you have Access, you have R coding, you have all kinds of different stuff that people need to know how to use. And we have people who are great at that. Not everyone loves to present on that, but we have people that are great at that. And so we really want other crime analysts to present. So think about it. If you have a special talent and you know you can really help someone, whether it's from beginner to advanced, we really are open to talking to people about that and seeing. Those are another one of those where 2 hours is great if you can do 2 hours. Sometimes 1 hour is enough too. So bring your own computer is truly what it means. Bring your own computer. We don't supply them. And then the trainer will either provide you with slideshow afterwards, or sometimes they'll give you coding. They will do different stuff. So it's really up to speakers. And then, of course, our ever popular Esri Computer Lab, they put on training classes on how to use their products. And obviously, they're free. You go to them. They're great. If you are map heavy, I would highly suggest going to these classes. And they provide about 30 to 40 computers. Don't quote me on that for sure, but that's usually what it is. And you can go to class and you don't need your own computer to go to their class. If you want to bring your own because there's not enough room and you want to type notes, that's okay too. But those are the things were the sections. If you have a topic though that doesn't fit in any of those, don't be afraid to put it in, because you never know. We have had some very interesting topics that don't seem to fit any of these, but yet that doesn't mean we're going to say no to them, because we're looking for unique stuff too.
Yeah. And good point. Remind me about that. When you do fill out the application on the C-Vent, do you have to pick a category? Attract to where it goes.
You do. You usually pick one or two categories, and sometimes it'll even say like crime mapping, cell data. It has a bunch of different stuff, the theory. So there's a little bit more sections than what I just went over, because we know some people's presentations can be at least two, sometimes more. Julie and I will look at those and then try to decide what we think is the best fit for them. But yeah, because like I said, some people will have statistics in with crime mapping, right? So crime analysis and crime mapping. So don't worry too much if you pick the wrong section. Julie and I read every single submission, and if we think you would be better suited in this section, that's where we're going to put that. And especially to make sure that we have a good amount of topics in each area. Obviously, we can't have a conference with just all case studies or all theory. We really want to try and mix it up. And so we will go through and make sure that that kind of fits selection. So if you make a mistake, it's not a big deal.
All right. And so I just want to make sure I got them right. Could you just go through the list of tracks just from beginning to end there?
Well, yes. If you have ever gone onto our website and seen our schedule, we label it this way: general theory, general slash theory, crime analysis slash case studies, intel analysis, exhibitor led, bring your own computer lab, and the Esri lab. So if something doesn't feel like it fits in there, it'll fit. It just, we will help you make it fit, don't get too caught up in those terms. Just if you're a crime analyst and you have something to contribute, put it in and figure it out from there.
Yeah. So the bring your own computer is, I think you hit it when you, I think you referred to the instructors as trainers, because that is more of a training environment as opposed to the other classes other than the Esri computer lab, where it's a presentation style. So the expectation is to be in front of the group presenting, giving the speech, certainly can have a PowerPoint. There'll be a projector there that the presenter can use. But for the most part, that's the expectation, is that you are presenting in these categories. And then when you get to the bring your own computer classes, that's where you're expecting that they're going along with the trainer as the trainer teaches a specific technique.
Good point, because some people don't understand that their students, attendees, however you want to think of it, but I think of it kind of as students, is you're going in there to do hands-on learning. So a lot of our presentations are super interesting, don't get me wrong, but really learning how to do a formula or do some stuff on a computer, people are hands-on learners a lot of time. I know I am. And so if I start doing it and then I can ask that question during the class, that tends to stick with me personally more. We do have some people where they will put in presentations and say, I used, let's say, GIS mapping to solve this crime. And so it'll look kind of computer related, but they're really, their point is not to teach people how to do that. It's to just give them ideas of what they can do. So there is a difference. And a lot of times Julie and I will write to them and say, did you mean this to be a computer lab, or did you mean this to just be a presentation? Because we want to make sure that students know exactly what they're getting.
Okay. Yeah. And for those that may be thinking about training and a presentation that's a bring your own computer lab, if there is data that needs to be shared with the students, how does the trainer give data to the audience?
Another good question. Some of them will send their information to us. Some of them will have a link in the app. So they will have us upload a link. And then when the student gets into the class, they can click on that link. Sometimes they will have a thumb drive or multiple thumb drives that they will pass around so people can put that onto their computer. So it really is up to the trainer on how they want to present it, especially if it's a little bit unique, like it's not an ArcGIS, say it's not Excel, but they have a whole Excel sheet with a bunch of formulas and they share that with you. So people will put it up on the cloud, you can get into their accounts, and each trainer is kind of different. But if there is stuff for you to have, they're good about getting.
So just a point of clarification on the crime analysis point and the intel analysis point. I guess the way I sometimes think about it is crime analysis can get into maybe some problem solving, more high level projects that you're working on. And then intel can get into more case support. Is that a way of thinking about it?
I think that's a good way, because a lot of times intel analysts are working more like gangs or motorcycle gangs or drugs like I do, or they're very specific. They're not branching out like a lot of crime analysts do. For crime analysis, it could be you're doing calls for service and you're helping neighborhoods. And it's much, I would say crime analysis is a little bit broader than intel analysis. I find intel analysts really are more focused on specific areas, like I said, like threat, different stuff like that. Most crime analysts, not all, but most, are jack of all trades. And so they're doing a lot of stuff. So I guess that's a good way to think of it. I liked your way of thinking about it, Jason. It's crime analysis is broader. Intel is maybe a little bit more focused.
Okay, good. All right. So then let's get into what makes for a successful presentation in terms of an application, because I think we went over the topics, we have the structure now, but let's get into tips and tricks and what makes for a successful presentation in your eyes.
So Julie and I will receive sometimes a little less than 100, sometimes over 100. Obviously, we can't pick every single one of them. We'd love to give everyone an opportunity. But within those, we are looking for enough classes to be diversified. So if we get 10 call for service ones, we're going to just have to look at those proposals and decide based on what they put in that presentation, what we think would be the most bang for the buck, or someone we know who's a great speaker, or are you a new speaker? We also look for that too. So a successful presentation is going to be something that's going to help other crime analysts succeed in their job. So if you're too narrowly focused, it's hard sometimes for us to choose those. If it's too specialized, it can be, that doesn't mean we're going to outright say no to it, but it can, if it doesn't hit enough of an audience, sometimes that may be a problem. So I would say when you're looking to do a presentation, really think about how many people could benefit from that. If you do something that you think most people don't do, it might be a little harder sell for us because we want to make sure you have a lot of people coming to your class. We want to make it interesting enough for everybody. So if you have a packed class, the other class is still going to be packed too. So I would say really look at what you have to offer and do you think you're going to have enough attendees? Because as you know, we have an Intel conference out and those conferences are really focused on Intel analysts. That doesn't mean crime analysis is not involved, but if you're so very focused on something, let's say at the federal level and most analysts wouldn't have access to it, it might be a little bit harder for us to choose that. Doesn't mean it's not a good presentation though. It just, we have to look at how many people are going to be able to connect that. I would also say you're going to write out successes, failures. Tell us how you think this is going to benefit someone. I tried this. This part worked. This part didn't. I want people to learn from my success. We're also looking for people who are new, people who are brave enough to do this. It's really not that scary, but people who have come into the crime analysis world and they've had some success being a new person and they want to share that success with others. Because we all know the 20 plus year analysts or even the 10 plus years, we know they're successful because they've been presenting a lot. But the new people sharing some of the new people have new techniques too that those of us who've been doing crime analysis or intel analysis haven't heard of yet. So it's kind of great to hear that. So bringing something new, even bringing something old is good, but with a new twist on it. So we've all looked at crime stats, right? And crime stats can be boring. But crime stats, when you're helping solve a problem and how you did that, is interesting. So just giving crime stats is not going to be something we're going to really glom onto. But if you're telling me that you use this to help solve a gang problem in a neighborhood, or you reduce car thefts, or you did something like that, that's what we're kind of looking for. Not just, hey, I did some stats. I want to know how you made their job better. So that's kind of what we mean by that. Also, as a presenter, it's scary to get up there. I'm not going to say it's not. I mean, people have told me, oh, I didn't know you didn't look nervous at all. I was nervous. But once I started, I got into it because I love the topic I'm talking about. So that's what analysts should remember. If you are passionate about what you're talking about and you know what you're talking about too, make sure you don't present on something that you question. You will succeed. I think really are just like, I always think of like Chris Bruce. He loves access, right? The man lived access and he's great. You got Mike Winslow. He's really good at call detail stuff and he gets his information out there because he knows it, he loves it, and he's a good presenter. I would also just tell people, talk to people. Don't rely on your PowerPoint to do your presentation. PowerPoints are great because you need them. You need to show some of your stuff. But know your data and be able to look at people in the audience. If you only stare at your computer or your PowerPoint and you do your whole presentation off of that, it doesn't tend to engage your audience. So I would always say have visual effects up there. It can be a PowerPoint, like I said, or it can be a video. It can be a bunch of different stuff. But don't rely on it to teach your class for you, because people want to see you and your engagement and your enthusiasm for it. Because I've seen some people that I thought the topic might, be honest, not really be something I was interested in, or it might not benefit me. But man, I left their class going, wow, that seems kind of cool. That would be great if I could try that out. So keep that in mind when you're putting in for this, that you want to buy or try what you're teaching. You know what I mean? That's the best way for me is I love engaging speakers. You don't have to be perfect. Just do your best and show that you're really interested in your topic, because not everyone can be a perfect speaker, but you can still get your message across if you love what you do.
Yeah. And it's easier to sell, right? And that's what this is you're selling your idea. So it's the passion that you talked about in terms of the topic, but even getting into the proposal itself. So there's going to be the title. I would recommend having a catchy title, something that's going to going to catch somebody's eye, like, oh, okay. I like to use puns. So, hey, I recommend maybe some puns in there to catch somebody's eye. And we didn't talk about this before, but I think this is a good time to bring it up. So when you do put in the application for your proposal, there's two sections. There's the course summary that you'll fill out that has 300 characters. And that's what's going to be on the app. If you're selected, that's what people will see. That's the abstract for your presentation. But then there's the full course abstract that you can put up to 4,000 characters. And that's just for you and Julie. And so there, if you need to have more explanation as to why your presentation should be selected, that would be the spot to put it in. So whether it is a brand new topic that you've never seen at a conference before, you need to describe like why this is important and why this will help as many analysts as possible. Or you're on the other side where you're choosing something like OSINT, open source intelligence, and social media analysis. Like, why is yours different? Because that's been taught several times and you probably get lots of applications in there. So that's your time to shine there to sell your presentation, to put it the best step forward.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because the abstract with the 300 characters is really to kind of, it's a great summary. It should cover enough to make you interested in going to your class. But like you said, the other one, which I might shorten the 4,000 to 3,000. It's a lot. I have actually included sometimes some of the longer ones, let's say for bring your own computer. Sometimes I've actually included that on the app where I felt like their 300 characters didn't quite do it for the attendees. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that short course summary should really let people know what they're in for, and then let Julie and I know, like you said, what you're going to teach and why is this going to be interesting to other people? Because sometimes even that short summary is not going to tell us why we should pick you. So like you said, that is your time to shine. And also don't try to do too much. Like because if you're choosing just to do that 50-minute presentation, look at that and go, can I really cover this in 50 minutes? So some people we've noticed try to jam everything they know into that hour. You don't have to. Do what really, really matters to you. Like, sure, if you had half a day, you could talk about everything that's on there. But sometimes if you try to cover too much, you really don't cover any. So I always tell people, hey, really do the stuff that's most important to you, and that will come out. So, yeah, the 4,000, I think next year is going to be a little bit shorter. So because I can still get it with 2,000 to 3,000 words in there.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned being nervous, and I still get nervous as many as presentations as I put on over the years. I normally have the problem is like, oh, I don't think I have enough information. And what if I go through it too fast? And that's never happened to me. Even when I've had too little, it seems like I am racing to put in the last couple of items on my presentations. It's always taking longer than what I think I'm going to when I'm planning. Like reality takes longer than what's in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny how you think that. But yeah, it's, and I would also suggest to new presenters, practice in front of another analyst. I don't know, your family, practice in front of the mirror. Some people will videotape themselves so that they can see what they look like. Because really you want to get up there and say you're someone who likes to stand still. That's okay too, as long as you're using eye contact. Some people like to walk around a little bit. Make sure you don't walk around too much, though, because that can be a little distracting to people. So having that balance, like, I don't expect you to, if you are comfortable at the podium, great, stay at the podium, but make sure you engage with your audience. So those are little presenter tips that it takes a while to feel comfortable doing these things. And like you just said, you still get nervous. I still get nervous. Most people up there are nervous. But once you get going, it kind of just takes a life of its own. And you got to be confident. And hey, if you mess up, you mess up. That doesn't mean that you won't have another chance another time. So just keep that in mind, that we really are trying to get new speakers and obviously seasoned speakers. We want a combination. We want everyone to feel welcome here.
Yeah, we like variety. So,
yes.
So, and for those that may be brand new and just maybe thinking of topics, one thing I want to make sure is you're putting in the proposal now by April 28th. You do not have to have 100% complete presentation beginning to end by April 28th. You just have to have enough for your proposal and have just sell your idea. And then you'll have a couple of months to polish it out and get it ready for September. So just it doesn't have to be 100% complete by the end of April.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't need your PowerPoints. We don't need any of the video. We don't need your full presentation. What we just need is the idea of your presentation. Because I know when I submitted mine, it was not done. Like, my PowerPoint wasn't done by that point, but I knew what I was going to talk about. So as long as you know kind of your ideas, you can polish it up and to the last day before the conference starts. So, I mean, that is wholly up to you. But yeah, good point, Jason, because we have had a couple people ask us that we don't need your stuff right now. We just need you to know what you want to talk about.
Do you have a number of how many presentations you're looking to fill?
It's, like I said, every year it's kind of different, because it depends on if we do like the general presentation one day, because that takes up like at least 10 different slots for a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Julie and I don't completely control the schedule. I would say, God, anywhere from 50 to 70 sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then that's with, though, remember, ESRI, mm-hmm. and then your exhibitor led, and then also with NIJ, they do anywhere from 6 to 8, usually 8, but, and then, so it's, I know, it's hard, because Julie and I are always like, God, we wish we could include this, and we want to do a lot, but we have to also choose based on what's going to be best for the conference. But I would say anywhere from 50 to 70, mm-hmm. like I said, we can sometimes get over 100. So that makes it hard for us to say no to people, because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings and think, oh my God, we didn't like it, but we're stuck with a limitation, and we will let that too. And sometimes it's just because, like you said, we have 15 OSINT classes. Well, we got to pick the one we think is, or the few that we think is going to work. Doesn't mean your presentation was bad, but we can't have 15 of the same topic.
Yeah. So then you talked about it a little bit, but just in case there was still something left there, is just your process of selecting, narrowing it down to who you're selecting.
Yeah, and it's we're looking to see if you have something unique, useful, something that people can take away from the course with, whether it be bring your own computer, someone's going to learn how to do macros or whatever that may be. And then everyone wants to know how, a lot of the new analysts want to know, how can I be successful? So sometimes they look for those courses. Or how to become a supervisor. What should you do to prepare for that? How do you, there's different little topics. So it's like Julie and I will think about, been in this business for 25 years. What would have been great for me to see, or what did I enjoy as a new analyst? And then what did I enjoy as I became more familiar with crime analysis? So thinking about what benefited us too. And we ask other people that question too. What do you think really benefits? And as a new person, what were you excited to see? So those are some of the questions we ask each other, and then sometimes ask other people too, like, what do you really want to see out of a comp? And we get ideas that way too. And by the way, we read all of the general conference comments too, where people would say, I would love to see more of this class, or I'd love to see more of that. So we look at that too. Computer classes, always at the top. OSINT is a big thing now. Call detail, case studies, really can't go wrong. But don't be afraid to put in for it if it's not one of those things. Because like I said, I got a really unique one. It's like, wow, that is a topic I've never seen before. That could be super interesting. So just don't worry about whether it seems a little odd. We'll let you, if we're like, oh, that's a little too outside of what we're looking for. So how to better plan the next year if you want feedback.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything from last year's conference you mentioned looking at the general survey results? Was there anything that somebody recommended for this year's conference?
You know, we get a lot of people who want a little bit more advanced computer training, mm-hmm. but then I have to have people put in for that. So if I don't have trainers, I can't offer those classes. So I would suggest, if say you're not comfortable being a speaker, but you know someone who is, encourage them to put in, because we can't do anything if we don't have someone to teach you. So we know certain people are great at computer classes, but if you know somebody else, please tell them. We would love to see their experience out there at the presentation. So I would highly suggest people take their own advice when they're saying, I would love this class or I would love that class. If you saw it in another conference, tell us, or tap that person on the shoulder and say, put in, your class was great last year, or something like that. So that's also, we got to get the people who actually put in for class, offer the class we're looking for.
Yeah. And you just reminded me of something that I've forgotten up until this point. When folks fill out the application for proposal, it does ask them level of expertise for the target audience. I think it's general, beginner, intermediate, and expert. Is that the four categories?
Well, I think, yeah, it's like general audience. And then sometimes it'll say panel, like say you want to kind of round table it. Mm-hmm. And then computer classes are going to be more, or even some of your general presentation, is this beginner, intermediate, and advanced, so that people know what to expect when they go to a computer class. Now, having said that, you have to actually read the presentation that gets approved in the app and see what the level. Mm-hmm. Because some people will say, oh, this wasn't advanced enough for me. And I'm like, okay, make sure you're really looking at that presentation, what it said. Because, you know, our presenters do try and put what they're going to, and some people, I've gone to a class where I'm like, ooh, this is really beginner for me. My fault, I didn't read enough of it. Or, ooh, that was a little too advanced. So just make sure you put that in there for people. And also that once they get selected, you kind of look at what they're presenting on. So
that's one of the things I've struggled in putting in for presentations in the past, is I believe my presentation wasn't quite beginner, but I wasn't sure, would this be considered intermediate or experts? Do you have any kind of rule of thumb or how to pigeonhole that?
That's a good one, because some people, here's an example. I went to a ArcGIS class years ago, and it was touted as a, really didn't say intermediate, but I could kind of tell it was. Mm-hmm. So we had a bunch of people that attended the class that really were not prepared for the class. And so they really needed a beginner class to start with. So it's, if you're doing macros in Excel, I would say that's definitely not a beginner class. Maybe some basic formulas, I would say that's a beginner class. So think about, how long did it take you to learn? Now, some people are just naturally gifted with computers, and so sometimes their learning curve is a little bit faster than others. But I would say, think about how long it took you to get that concept. If it took you a while to practice R coding or making macros or building an Access database, and you think maybe your database is more complex than a basic one, don't be afraid to put intermediate, because I would say if you really think it's a little bit more advanced than a brand new analyst can handle, don't be afraid to put that, because then no one wants to feel like they're not smarter than that for a class, because that's not true. Mm-hmm. It just means they may not be prepared for that class because it's just a little too much for them time.
Yeah, and some of them are easier than others to teach, right? Because I think of when I did Excel, I can set it to beginner and then put in the description maybe some more advanced concepts so everybody can get a little bit out of my class, whether the beginning folks are just learning some beginning concepts, but I can sprinkle in some more advanced concepts so those that been around the block for Excel can still pick up some piece of information that I'm teaching. I try to make it a little bit more of a variety.
And I agree, because if you show something that's a little bit more intermediate, even though maybe it's got a lot of beginner in it, mm-hmm. it's something an analyst can go, oh, that is a cool function. I need mm-hmm. to learn more about that. And so I know it sounds silly now, but like when I first discovered pivot tables, oh my God, was that like the aha moment of my life of, oh, wow, this can really open up so much stuff for me. So it wasn't covered a whole lot in the class because it was more of a intermediate topic for what they were teaching. Mm-hmm. So I went back and started teaching myself and looking at videos and stuff on that. So sometimes, like you said, that's a good thing because it can really open up someone's eyes to more advanced topics that they want to learn.
Okay. And then what if I, putting in a proposal, might have a special circumstance? I need to let you know that maybe my schedule, I can't come to the entire week of the conference, or maybe if I'm co-presenting with a vendor, a person that's a vendor, the vendors are usually there only Monday through Wednesday. So I would, I might have that special thing like, hey, I'm co-presenting with this person, they're leaving on Wednesday, or I'm leaving on Wednesday. There's some kind of special circumstance that I would have. Is that something you would recommend maybe putting in that full course abstract? Should they email you all directly? How should that be handled?
And, you and I talked about this a little bit, but we try to have people really be able to show up the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
We do understand there are special circumstances, and we will look at that, but we can't guarantee anything. So say someone had to leave on Thursday and couldn't make it Friday, or like you said, they're working with a vendor, to let us know if when they put in their presentation, and I wouldn't say in the app, or on the website, you would send Julie and I speakers, our email is speakers@iaca.net, and just let us know. And then it's something we will take into account, because say all of our other speakers can be there the whole week, we have to, it's a juggling thing, and we really do want to try and make it easy for people to present, but we also have to think about the whole schedule. So I generally don't get that many, or Julie doesn't get that many requests. So if it's a minimum of requests, we can try to accommodate. But if it gets too much, we just have to say, sorry, we can't that way. So it's kind of a year-to-year basis. 1 year was just crazy with the amount of requests, and so we had to start saying no. We just could not accommodate the schedule. We couldn't keep track of it. It was just too difficult. So if it's just a little bit here and there, or we've had researchers, like professors, who are like, oh, I have to be in class by Friday. Okay. I mean, they can be there the rest of the time. So we do try to be as considerate as we can, but we also have to think about the whole conference. But yes, email us, speakers@iaca.net, and let us know. And then we will see. Never a guarantee. We will just see what's up with the conference.
Yeah. All right. I do want to get to what happens once a person is chosen to be a presenter, but I just thought of one thing I wanted to clarify. The NIJ track, that's a total separate process, right? So if somebody's listening to this, they think they have something that might fit better in the NIJ track, are they using the CVent, or is that's a total separate process and a total separate date range, right?
It is a total separate process, and yes, different date range. So Joel Hunt with NIJ is basically our contact, great guy, and he helps us choose these classes. So on NIJ's website, they will open up the calls for presentation. They may have different criteria than we do, and they will have it open for a certain amount of time, just like us, and then they will choose those presenters. And so we will get an email from Joel saying, these are the ones we've chosen that we think would be best for your conference that are not strictly research-based, because that seems to be more popular with the NIJ crowd, more of something that is research-based and benefits Criminal. So that's what Joel kind of looks for now. And so if someone doesn't make it on our list, sometimes they will reach out to NIJ and put in their presentation there. Sometimes they'll put in both, just to hedge your bets, I guess. But know that NIJ only picks like up to eight classes. So you're less likely to get picked with them than with us. And also, they don't take any international ones. So NIJ is helping sponsor these classes, and they won't take any internet. We just want people to know that it's basically their charter. It's not Joel's choice. It's just something they have to look at researchers in the United
States. Okay. And do you know when typically they open up their call for presentations?
I think it's going to be soon. Every year it's a little different, so it can be a little confusing, but I would definitely suggest that people go to the NIJ website. It's nij.ojp.gov and look in there, because I know Joel told us it was going to be happening somewhat soon. And they generally close after us too, maybe a couple weeks after us. Again, each year kind of depends, but they're generally a little bit later than us.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So let's talk about what happens once someone gets chosen, because there can be some anxiety, especially if you're new to this process. You get the room covered, one night room covered, you said, per presentation, and get your conference fee waived. So just let's go through some of the questions that you get and just the process of what happens once you get chosen.
So once we have gone through, and Julie and I negotiate on different classes, because sometimes her and I will give each other, oh, you get three, like you have to have, you know. So we both, we go through that, we figure out who we want, and everybody at this point, if they have put in, have said that they're going to come, we will send out a congratulations, you have been chosen. It will have information on there, but we will still get questions, so I will go over that too with everybody on here, is we will let you've been chosen. We have no idea when the schedule is, because we don't. We start working on that once we've chosen everybody. Your hotel room will be booked by the conference committee. So that means that you do not need to worry about that. And that seems to be the kind of a little bit of a stressor or anxiety for people every year. Our conference committee puts aside hotel rooms. So if you are chosen, speak. Do not worry that we don't book your room immediately. It will be booked. And we reach out, Julie and I, we find out you have someone coming with you, you know, any of that, what dates, say you want to come in early and you want to stay later. That's obviously on a personal decision that you'll be paying for, but we will mark that in for your reservation. So I just want people to know that. Some agencies, though, they get a little anxious about us doing it, so they book it themselves. We just ask that they send us their resume. We also let people know that we have to have a firm I will be there within usually 2 weeks of us telling you that you've been chosen. So we will again ask that you verify that you can make it. Like I said, barring any emergency, that way we can start doing the schedule. So we really have to rely on everybody to let us know. We'll also let you know that you have to register for the conference. We'll tell you how to register, that you have a primary speaker and you have a co-speaker. As I said, primary is free, so you're not going to be charged. It'll just say zero at the end of your registration. We also send that whole list to our registration people, so that if you get some reminders from us that you still haven't registered, we'll let you know. Those are the big things. Once you get to the conference, Julie and I kind of have our own area where you can come meet up with us. We make sure you have what you need, but you bring your own computer mainly just as a backup because, well, really most people bring a computer and they bring their thumb drive because there's not always computers available and we can't guarantee. We tell everyone to bring their own computer, bring an extra thumb drive in case your computer breaks down and we can go find you another one. We will have the screens up for you. We will have a projector. Every room does not come with a pointer. It will come with a microphone, but it doesn't come with a pointer if you really want to have a pointer. That's about it. But that's way down the line, and we will send you a list of you need to know this. And generally, we're good. But the biggest questions really do have to deal with the hotel and their present. And we just tell them, bring a thumb drive just in case, but have your laptop available.
So as we mentioned before, the deadline for put in for presentations is April 28th. When will the decision be made? When should folks expect to hear from you all whether they got accepted or not selected?
So usually it's 2 to 3 weeks after all the presentations are in. Mm-hmm. Julie and I obviously train, like we've already been reviewing presentations. And I'll tell you that a lot of presentations we've already said yes to, like we don't let people know. Her and I are like, oh, this sounds pretty interesting, but we have to wait until we get them all, right? So if you're looking at 100 of them, it takes us a little bit to go through them. So I would say 2 to 3 weeks, you will get a notice, whether it's a yes, thank you, no, still thank you. And from then we're going to let you know, okay, the schedule should be up by this time.
Mm-hmm.
Our conference committee has for the last few years kind of told Julie and I that we need a schedule by the end of June. Mm-hmm. That is not as easy as everyone thinks. So we work towards that. We also do let people know your date may get changed. So if it's one of those people who absolutely can't change it, we have to know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason we have to put that up there is apparently there are agencies that actually will not send their analysts unless they have a list of class, which I find a tad bit ridiculous, but that's, that's their agency. They want to know what their analysts are going to learn while they're there. So even though we publish all our old schedules up there, so people kind of know what we're going to be, what we focus on, they still want to know exactly what their analysts are going to be going. So that's kind of why we put that out by the end of June. And like I said, it can change. We try not to change it too much, but it can change. So you're going to be pretty dialed into what you're going to be presenting on, what time, all that stuff by the end of June. And we put a big caveat on there, though. It could change, but most people we try not to mess with it too much after that. We might just switch you from a classroom or something. That's about it. Or maybe an hour earlier, but nothing drastic if we can help.
Yeah. So just to recap that. So April 28th is the big date. All right.
Yep.
59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Couple weeks after, probably towards middle to late May, you'll hear back and you have a couple weeks to respond saying, yes, I'm coming. So that's like mid-June. And at that time, once you're selected, you can register. And when you register for the conference, I believe there's a selection there that says, hey, I'm a conference speaker, so then don't charge me. And then you won't get a charge. Let's say you got one presentation selected, you get the one night. And so just and for those new, like what will happen then is you'll say, okay, all right, I want to come in on Sunday before the day before the conference starts, and I want to leave on Friday, right? So that's five nights. You'll have one night that will be paid for by the conference for being a presenter, and then your agency or you will be responsible for the other four nights, and you'll be in the same hotel room. So it's not like, oh, you got to move to the hotel room. Because I was just thinking about that. I was like, I could think of someone thinking like, do I switch hotel rooms just being a presenter for one night and the other night? So no, you're there for the entire week. So just to let you know, and you can stay extra nights, as she mentioned, if you want to turn this into a vacation, put this in. And I think it's usually the same rate. The hotel room is usually the same rate as the conference rate, which can be kind of nice if you want to stay in for a couple extra days, either before or after the conference. You can certainly do that. But again, that's not something that the IACA or the conference committee would necessarily be responsible for. You would be responsible for that. So.
Correct. And sometimes if people, and obviously each hotel works differently, some really are great at extending that conference rate, usually to Saturday or Sunday, but I can't guarantee it after that. I can't even guarantee it right now, but most are pretty good about the Saturday and Sunday. And so we just suggest that people take a look at the website and see what that conference fee is going to be. Because we have had some people who want to get there even a couple days early, and that conference rate is not going to be available. So that's something they need to know. And like you said, we will book that room. If an agency absolutely does not want us to do that, that is fine. We're not going to push that. As long as we have their conference or their registration information, we can just plug that in for our hotel person, because we do have someone that we work with that she really organizes all this chaos for us and makes sure that people have their rooms. She sends it to us to verify. We make sure everyone has that information. So she does a great job at that. I'm not saying that sometimes little errors don't happen. They do. But she's usually like the magician that gets it all fixed. So it generally works out. So yeah, we just need to know those little details. And again, some of the stuff we don't control, Julie and I, like parking fees or any of that stuff, that will all be on the website. But it's Vegas. Not everything's super cheap, but we do try to get some deals where we can.
All right. Very good, Danielle. Is there anything else you want to add? Maybe if there's a frequently asked question that you get a lot, or anything that we haven't covered in terms of the calls for presentations?
I think, like you said, the biggest stuff is going to be about the hotel, what to bring. We don't always have the best answer for why we picked one over the other, because sometimes it's just we just have too many of something. So please don't take that too personal if your first time you're not successful, because like I said, sometimes it's just, hey, we got these four and we had to pare it down to two. So don't ever give up trying to do this, because we want to encourage people to do this. This is your opportunity to shine, but it's also your opportunity to learn from other people too. So go into the conference thinking that, like, how can I benefit from this conference, and how can I make sure that people know their knowledge is important? So it's just one of those things to keep in mind for everybody. Don't worry that you're new. You can still do that. For those of you who have been doing this for years, we welcome you back too, because we always know that you're going to do a good presentation. So we want that variety, like you said. We want different topics, different people. And don't be afraid to ask Julie and I questions, but also just know that sometimes we may not get back to you immediately, but don't be afraid to send us an email, because either one of us is going to respond to you. Enjoy the conference. I mean, enjoy the opportunity. And I don't know, because a lot of times when you get out there and speak, you're going to meet people that come up to you and you get great contacts that way. You get people who say, hey, I do that too, and this is how I do this. And then you can expand on some of the stuff. And just from you talking about it, you can meet some other really talented people that can give you some clue stuff too. So that's what I think great about speaking opportunity. It's not just getting your message out, but you meet other people who have the same experience, kind of expand on your niche.
Yeah, very good. So as I mentioned, we'll put additional information and links to everything in the show notes. And I encourage you to get involved and to put in for presentations, get your perspective out there, pay it forward, if you will, in terms of teaching other analysts about this great profession. Danielle, I'll just leave you with the last word.
Don't wait till the last minute if you can at all avoid it, but we're still accepting till 11:59 at night. And then just, you know, be patient with Julie and I if we don't get back to you immediately, because this is a volunteer position. And so we have our jobs too that we have to do, but we really do try to do our best to get back to you as quickly as possible. And that's really about it. Just try not to wait till the last minute. Or if you do, make sure it's, Jason said, 11:59 Pacific Standard. And I will leave you with that. So I look forward to seeing some new names and some new agencies. So don't be afraid.
All right. Very good. Thank you for your time and information today, Danielle, and you be safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for making it to the end of another episode of Analyst Talk with Jason Elder. You can show your support by sharing this and other episodes found on our website at www.leapodcasts.com. If you have a topic you would like us to cover or have a suggestion for our next guest, please send us an email at leapodcasts@gmail.com. Till next time, analysts, keep talking.